If you think you're having a bad day, trust me, Cordarrelle Patterson is having a worse one. I'll explain what I'm talking about a little later in the program. Right now, though, excited to be joined by our friend Mr. Ben Standig. Just launched his own Substack. Benny, what's up, man?
JP, B-Mitch, thank you for having me in your very cold tent. The fan is the big MVP today.
All right, should we start with the elephant in the room? Oh, my God. Let's start with the elephant in the room.
Okay.
So Deebo Samuel stole my chair today, and I didn't say anything. And B-Mitch has been calling me a wimp because I didn't stand up to Deebo.
Yeah, he's standing up to you.
But you've been stealing my chair nonstop, and this is me standing up to you.
Nah,
stop stealing my chair.
Tell him if you don't stand up to Deebo, don't say nothing to you.
I mean, I think B-Mitch makes a fair point. Yeah, JP's saying that in the media room, I have a seat next to his, but mine is like closer to the baking sun. And when he's not in there, I kind of slide in a little bit. And then he shows up. He's like, well, dude, I'm like, you know, kind of already here.
just squatter's rights.
Yeah, that's kind of how I see it.
All right, let's talk practice, dude. I think Jaden was damn near phenomenal today. He was really, really good. What stood out for you in Jaden's performance?
Yeah, I mean, I think what has stood out in general in camp of how it hasn't stood out in the sense of, like, I already expect this to be the case now, that he's going to be lights out because of what we saw last year. And I'm not even looking at it as, like, overhyping it or, like, being, like, seeing everything through burgundy and gold-colored glasses. There wasn't much to ding last year, and he's just come out and continued to be that guy. And also, it's just, you know, the demeanor, the poise, the calm. He just looks like he's been doing this forever already. And so I'm not like, wow, look at that play. Although I guess I did on the very first one of the camp when he threw to Deebo for that touchdown. And
right.
I went a little nuts. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think today was a pretty good day after a couple days ago the offense looked a little shaky. But yeah, he just looks the part. I have no notes.
I think a lot of times we look at people. But his mental makeup is what I hear everyone discuss. And I think that right there sets him apart from most guys, because other guys are trying to get to where he came into this place at. So I don't suspect him having any kind of fallback. I just think that he can win 11 games, 10 games, and still be as good as he was last year. But people will automatically say, oh, sophomore slump, because they didn't win the same amount of games.
Right. Yeah, I think this team in general can be a better team and win less games because of the tougher schedule. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously kudos to them for getting the breaks and taking advantage of them. But there were also a lot that went their way. I was just doing an interview with somebody else, and they asked about Jaden. And I was like, look, here's the thing. If I tell you at the end of the season that he was the same guy last year, that's not a plateau. That's awesome.
Right.
If he can replicate that, then the sky's the limit. And that's the thing. We, you know, right now, obviously, we've got the Terry McLaurin drama, and, you know, we're all kind of waiting to see some of the, you know, how's Marshawn Lattimore hold up and Tunsil. And every year there will be stories. As long as Five is out there and doing what he's doing and building off what he did last year, this team is going to have a puncher's chance to be a contender. And that is where you absolutely want to be in this league, and a lot of teams can't get there.
When you get into the quarterback club, when you've got a dude, you've got a chance. And it's, you know, they're still building. I mean, they've only had two drafts with this leadership group. Like, there's still a lot more to come. But having Jaden just gives them a chance. And it's pretty interesting because you wonder if they recognize that, and that's a factor in these McLaurin conversations.
Well, first off, you know, to the point of having a chance, he's also letting the rest of the league know this is the place to be. My buddy, who's a crazy Wizards fan, said Von Miller coming here reminded him of when Paul Pierce went to the Wizards after, like, Bradley Beal and John Wall had started to bubble up. And Paul Pierce,
I called game.
Right, and he had a great year, and they almost made the Eastern Conference Finals and blah, blah. But point is, like, Von Miller's not coming here if they were just 7-10 and Jaden was middling.
Yep.
Okay, so there's that. But in terms of, like, the McLaurin part, I think in general, I am a firm believer that receiver is a position I'm not going to look to spend a ton of money on. Have a stud, but then I'm, you know, having guy a rookie contract or some other guys who are making solid money but nothing amazing, because I have a quarterback that makes people better. I mean, I'm not comparing Jaden to necessarily these quarterbacks quite yet, but look what Josh Allen has to work with in Buffalo. Look what Mahomes has. in Kansas City at receiver. I know he has Travis Kelce. Look what Tom Brady had most of his career. They didn't have to spend a ton of money on receiver because their guy makes everybody better. You still need the one guy at least to be that sort of fulcrum, and Terry obviously can do that. But I do wonder, too, so what degree are they going, hey, man, Terry, we love you, but kind of think this guy, look what happened last year with De'Ami Brown, who had done nothing in 3 years, and now he got a contract this year. Olamide Zaccheaus had a bounce back year. Noah Brown, like, we believe in you, but we have a guy that we can believe in.
Yeah, but they ain't make him into Terry, though.
Yeah.
As good as they were, all of them together wasn't Terry.
Yeah.
So
oh, no.
You still got to have somebody special to help it. Yeah.
Yeah, spend on the one guy, absolutely, and then fill in, go from there. So, yeah, that's why there's a lot of reasons why the Terry thing feels weird at this stage as it keeps going on. But, yeah, I do wonder about that long picture. Do they think, hey, we have Jaden, we don't need to really spend a ton on this position?
Talking with our friend Ben Standig here. You can give him a follow at Ben Standig. Check out the Last Man Standig podcast. So I do want to talk about you launching your own Substack, right? And, a lot of people have read your work, watched your podcast, listened to the podcast over the years. But tell people what the Substack means and how they find it and such.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I mean, basically it's me taking the work I've already been doing, and now I'm the boss. This boss is going to let me slack when I need to. He's also going to say, "Hey, buddy, if you don't get motivated here, you're going to be in some big trouble because there's nobody else to fill in the gap." All the things I do over the years.
Nobody else to feed that cat.
Lenny lives a good life. He's not looking to go back. He wants to poop in a box, not live in one.
Not a lot of poop talk.
Well, So, yeah, I mean, look, all the stuff I've done, coverage of this team, inside analysis. Obviously, when we get to the draft season, I'll be doing mock drafts up the wazoo. I'm going to get going with my agent survey. And, really also just to try to build a community. I think that, you guys do obviously a great job here. You have loyal fans who come back to you day after day after day. And that's kind of what I want to try to build on this end. And, honestly, it's been a great start. We already have over 1,000 subscribers after just like 4 days, which to my eyes is pretty good. So yeah, if you go to lastmanstandig.substack.com/subscribe, you can get in there. And by the way, today is the last day for a discounted rate. So if either of you two haven't joined yet, I would just, I'd encourage you and everybody else.
You're going to make B charge you? You're going to charge B Mitch?
Well, I mean,
I'm just saying, if you're going to give one out, I'd give one to him.
Fair enough.
I think you wrote a story kind of checking in with people around the league for your Substack about what they thought was going on with this Terry situation.
Right.
What was who all did you talk to? I mean, obviously it's anonymous, but like, tell me the type of people you spoke with and kind of what their reaction was.
Yeah, I mean, look, this thing has gone on longer than I thought. I obviously talked to people around about it over the course of the off season, but as the last day or two, I was like, okay, let me circle back. So I talked to one GM and kind of went through the scenarios here and how, like, the DK Metcalf number, roughly $33 million, seems like a target for the Terry side, which makes sense. Same draft class, and the GM was kind of like, well, I'm sure that's what they would like. I don't know he's getting $33 million by this team or by anybody. But then I also talked to somebody who's a former executive who would be a kind of person who would be in rooms for contract negotiations, and he was just sort of flabbergasted that this thing is still going on, that for who Terry is, for what he represents.
Sure.
And the fact that, like, look, whatever the Jaden contract deal will be, it's 2 years removed, and this is a team that doesn't have a lot of guys that you really have to pay. So why make an example of him? Sure, maybe even if you have to slightly, quote-unquote, overpay, if you think he's only worth 28, get him to 30. It doesn't seem like it's a big deal. So it's been interesting because I think there's more people on the side of Terry may have to at some point concede, but a lot of people don't get why we're even here. Why is this guy being,
But I think just when you look at it, though, you can make every excuse you want, but a lot of their own words is why they're in this situation, too. You talk about being a commander. You talk about how you want certain people. Hell, he fits every bill of what you've been preaching.
I was joking earlier.
And then that person, when he say, okay, I want to be treated fairly, you say no, then what you telling everybody else? That we're blowing smoke?
Right. No, I mean, you know, everybody's getting into AI these days. I was joking that if you went to AI and said, hey, here's all the things that Dan Quinn and Adam Peters says of what they're looking for. Now, make a poster for the season and pick one player to be on that poster based on that. Reasonable chance it's going to be Terry. Uh-huh. So it's like, I don't get what we're doing here. Plus, it's still, like you said, it's still early in this process.
Yeah, it
they're
is.
Still establishing the culture. Who better exemplifies that than the guy who had a slog through a lot of tough quarterbacks, a lot of down years.
And you only want to listen to the person who's been through something.
Yeah.
So Terry's been through hell. And now when he gets to the other side, say, oh, we don't need you anymore. That doesn't seem like – I don't think that's what's being said. It's just that I think negotiations get a little tricky sometimes.
100%. I mean, obviously you had to go through these things and, like – you know, how do you tell a guy, hey, we want you, we value you, we covet you, but we just don't think you're worth as much as you think? I mean, you know, we've all been in negotiations, whatever jobs we all have. We're like,
Yeah, we may not think they're worth what they think they are, but you better make sure it's not too far away. Because basically you're telling me we don't think you're much.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. At least I don't know how far apart they are. It seems like it's got to be a pretty sizable gap, though, because otherwise I don't think we're having to have Terry and his agent come out here 2 days in a row to, walk around and to be seen and, sign autographs. And if it was closer, you'd think they'd be inside the building talking to Adam Peters and saying, okay, how do we
– Or practicing.
practicing, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Talk with our friend Ben Standig here. You can give him a follow at Ben Standig, Standig. Check out his podcast, Last Man Standig. As this thing continues
– How many people think you spelled it wrong?
My last name?
When you put last man.
Oh, I mean,
Instead oh, man, you forgot the end.
Right.
I mean, it's been this way my whole life, so I'm just used to it at this point. But, yeah, this is an important one. Don't misspell this name. Otherwise, I don't know what you're getting.
Have you seen Marcus Mariota the last 2 days?
So I think he was out there today for drills, but he wasn't out there for team. They had Sam Hartman, and it was like seemed like he was going second or with Josh Johnson. So yeah, I mean, not sure. Obviously, with all these vets,
a lot of vets got a day off.
A lot of vets get a day off. It was weird to me that they brought Josh Johnson in the sense of like the third string quarterback. I would like that player to be like somebody who could be the second string next year,
right?
And that's not going to be the 39-year-old, but. I also figured it's like, hey, how much are they going to use Jaden and Mariota in preseason games? And maybe with Mariota specifically, how much are you going to have to – do you run him out there in practices? So I don't know if there's something specific yet. I'm aiming to find out. Hopefully we will, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Chick Hernandez always making us laugh.
Chick is crazy.
How much you think Jaden plays in the preseason overall?
I mean, if you set the over-under at 2.5 series, I think I'd go under. I mean, look, is there a world where like it's like they go have a 3-and-out and they're like, okay, go back in again? Sure. But, I mean, in general, as long as they have a productive couple series, I don't see why they would risk that. I mean, that's the thing with the joint practices. You can specifically design what you want to work on, and he's not getting hit.
Right.
Or in the game, there's, there's no non-contact jersey.
Right.
So you don't want to risk that. I whether that's the right move to build a football team overall, I don't know. But, like, for him specifically, I don't think much. And then I kind of think the same thing with Mariota. I don't see why he's playing more than 2 or 3 series either. You got Johnson, let Hartman play.
You got to play football to get ready for football. I know we always say that, but we can't just have people go from practice to a game.
Sure.
Because you were going there with the wrong sense of security. They got to play at least eventually. I mean, you don't want to play them in too many games, but if you don't play them at all, I don't think football is going to a safe spot. While we practice for 1 hour and 15 minutes a day, okay, and then you get in preseason and you're in there for a smidget,
right?
Then you go play the game, and we noticed in the first week or 2-3 weeks, like tops, people start getting banged up because all of a sudden they're being ramped up. You got to ramp it up a little bit to try to get there.
And also just teams
and make plays that protect them.
Right. And also teams are coming in those first 2-3 weeks in general. They're a little behind. And all of a sudden, look, we all forget, or maybe we don't forget, but last year if the Giants had a kicker,
right,
they probably win week 2. The Commanders are 0-2.
Right.
And, I'm not saying the season's over, but, it's a different world then. They win that one and then the surge from there. And, you got to start off hot. Every game counts.
Yeah.
So, but again, this is where I leave it up to someone like you. Like, it definitely seems like the NFL has gotten very nervous that they make these huge investments in these players and are just petrified that they don't even make it out to week one. So I get.
Are we looking for a future where they're going to be playing with the pads on, the whole body?
Or
flags.
I mean, the reality is.
But what's the stuff they call it? Bubble wrap. Yeah, we're going to put them all in bubble wrap.
Well, it's just interesting because I think we've reached a point where so many coaches are just totally giving up on the preseason and counting more on the joint practices. But the league, because they force season ticket sales to include preseason, and they've got television deals, and then local teams have television deals, like, that's revenue. Like, it's not – eventually they get to 18, then it's only two preseasons. I get it. But, like, everybody hates the preseason, and yet it's not going anywhere. You know?
Yeah,
like,
I mean –
for guys fighting to make a roster spot, you don't hate it. But
yeah, they're going to have some level of it. I just think that you got to – I just – you're going to play football. Eventually people are going to get hit.
Yeah.
And I know people go, well, you know, it's preseason. If a guy get hurt in the preseason game or the first week of the season – what really is the big difference?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, like I said, it is purely the investment. You're just so – the second the guy signs that contract, you are just petrified that something happens. And, but like I said, it's football. I mean, you know, look, they can – in the preseason games, you can sit out your top, say, 25, 30 guys. You still have 60 guys to go play. So you can still have a game, and there's people wearing the jersey. And maybe it's not the stars, but there'll be people. And like you said, for the roster bubble guys, it's a huge deal. But, yeah, it is an interesting dynamic. How do you decide how much is too much? I always just kind of wonder, can you skip the OTAs and that part of it and just make this part larger and maybe, you know, try to build on that, maybe find more ways to get padded practices or things like that?
Content machine, bro. They want OTAs. They want us all out here putting it on TV.
The league want to be known.
They want it year-round, man. Talking with our friend Ben Stadig here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. If it ain't Rude, it ain't right. Who's standing out for you? Who you feel like's having a really good camp?
Well, this is going to be a very cliche because doesn't everybody sing Jacory Kroski-Merritt? I mean, I'd like to say that I was on this train like way back weeks ago. And look, it's a train that I admittedly it may be going too fast. He was this last running back picked in the draft. You know, if he was a better prospect, he would have gone earlier. He had obviously the weird situation where he basically didn't play last year. But this team, after the last season, it was pretty obvious to me that they lacked big-time playmaking out of the backfield. And mm-hmm. I think getting Debo maybe was part of that, specifically him, because he could play out of the backfield. But, you know, look, B-Rob is a powerful guy who's good in short yardage, but not going to really break one. Austin Ekeler could, but he's limited, and with the amount of touches you probably want to give him. And this kid, there was a play today, I assume you guys saw it, where Kroski-Merritt takes a handoff. He's sort of looking for a lane, immediately sees it, one cut, plant foot, cuts upfield. There's Tyler Owens waiting for him, and those two just go at it. Those are young guys.
It's a good collision.
They're not afraid right now of anything. And I just think that guy, I don't know, I don't want to get too far and say, he could be the starter on this team, but I think the upside is there because, again, that ability is something they just don't have in this group. Otherwise, if you add that to Jaden on the ground, I think that's going to make a nightmare for defenses. But let's see. There's a lot more than just simply running the ball. How does he pass block?
Yeah.
How is he as a receiver? You know, how is he, you know, getting the playbook down? All those kinds of things. But I'm impressed with what I've seen.
What have you thought of the receivers – non-Terry, non-Debo division?
You know, I think it's a little still work in progress. I mean, Luke McCaffrey always felt like he was on the verge of a big moment last year as a receiver. Never quite happened. Jalen Lane had that, you know, big catch yesterday where he goes high in the air.
Yep.
You know, to get over a couple DBs to make the play. So, I think, you know,
like Brooks.
Lane had another good catch today, too.
16. Yeah. I like him.
Yeah. Long.
Go. Six, by 6'2", 6'3".
When I did back after they signed the UDFAs, I did a story like I ranked them. I think he was my number one guy. I mean, we just look at the basics, but I forget watching film.
6'3", they list him.
He was a 5-star recruit to Alabama. Automatically, I mean, something is going on there. There's some sort of skill set. Now, it didn't quite work there. He goes to Louisville, gets a 1,000-yard season last year with Tyler Shuck, the
Saints
starter
yeah.
for the Saints. He's got good size. There's some bounce to him. He's been a part of special teams groups. And to me, if I'm looking at this team, I think there's five receivers that are probably locks, right? Terry, Noah Brown, Debo, Jalen Lane, and McCaffrey. If there's a sixth, look, I get if you want to vet Michael Gallup or KJ Osborne could be there, or Chris Moore. But if they're like the sixth guy, if they're really not in the top four, I'd rather go for a young guy with upside. And this kid looks to me, of those young guys, could be that guy. I mean, look, is he maybe this year's Cam Sims? Cam Sims was a guy who was Alabama, completely overlooked, goes undrafted, and then has a spectacular preseason, makes his team, and stuck around for a while, primarily for special teams. So, he's an interesting one for sure. But, again, like talking about Kroski Merritt, it's
early.
It's overhyping a fun new toy, but I am intrigued to see him as well in the preseason.
I also wonder if they don't – the way the practice squad rules are, if they think they can keep these guys and not lose them, right? Like, if you get Brooks to your practice squad, does that let you keep four running backs? Or does that – I'm almost curious about the tight end situation. Like, Tyree Jackson is just such a big monster. I don't know that – I don't know, right? Like Cager's a dude they love. There are these guys that I find interesting situationally, and because Debo kind of does multiple things, is that – does that mean you have to? I don't know how it'll all work out. And I mean, unfortunately, the reality is like there will be injuries somewhere along the way, and that'll impact roster construction.
I'm playing around with my first 53 projection because, you know, it's after 4 days of practice, you know, I've seen enough.
Yeah.
And I think looking at the offense, three quarterbacks, four running backs, six receivers, I don't think you can keep all of that. Now, maybe you don't keep the third quarterback. I would kind of always keep a third QB, but okay. The four running backs, I think this year kind of has to be, barring injury, and then that's the receiver. I wonder, maybe you only keep five, and like you said, get Brooks to the practice squad.
One of the quarterbacks on practice squad?
I mean, Josh Johnson's not there, right? So it's bad. Basically, do you want to keep Josh Johnson or not? Hartman, I think, gets there. But yeah, receiver, you could probably keep Brooks and pick your vet. Right, that you want to be there, have a couple of options. So if an injury happens, you bump them up on game day, and you're covered. So the practice squad makes it a lot easier, and it does make it like who's the guy we can risk releasing to get to the squad. Brooks would be that type of guy, but I don't necessarily think that the other vets are like you gotta worry that they're gonna get snagged either, because you know they're at the back end for a reason.
Sure are, Benny. Thank you for the time.
Appreciate
everybody, check him out. The new Substack, where you find all the standard content. Thanks, dude.
My God, thank you. Thanks for the fan. I appreciate it.
When we return, let's hear from Jaden Daniels. Had a hell of a practice today. How does Jaden Daniels, with all the hype and all the excitement, just keep his head on so straight? Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.